Hey, everybody. Welcome to Quest for Peace. I don't know what episode number this is. It could be like 6. They're not really episodes so much as it's just me yammering. Today is going to be a different episode. We've had guests on every week, and I talk to them about how to find inner peace. I haven't said my name yet. I'm Ayaz Akhtar. My name's all over the place. I happen to be the host of this show. And this show is all about finding inner peace and finding some kind of happiness and contentment. It's something I've been struggling with for a very long time. And as opposed to the other episodes where we have guests, it's just going to be me yammering about a couple of things I use or have read that have helped me at least kind of move a little bit forward in my quest for peace. And yes, I know we've had you, some smart Alex on Twitter saying, do you know that your show's title is the same as Superman 4, Quest for Peace? And to them, I say, yes, I do know that because I am a big nerd. And I am a big nerd. So I know that it is the title from Superman 4 because I like Superman 4, not as a movie. I like it as a title. It's really a crappy movie, but it's, you know, kind of a fun thing to have. And I thought Quest for Peace is actually what I've been on. So why not do that? So I want to show off something. You guys probably have seen it already on Twitter. This is going to be the album art. If there was an easier way to show this to you, I would do it. This is the easiest way to do it right now. This is the album art done by my friend Tom Gerke. This is freaking awesome. I asked for something that looked a bit like a Soviet piece of propaganda. And really, he came up with something awesome. So when this is out on iTunes and you'll have RSS feed soon, you'll be able to see that beautiful piece of art. I'm really very thankful for that because it's ridiculously awesome. And I appreciate that image because, man, that's going to look good on a t-shirt. I don't know if I'll ever wear a picture of myself on a t-shirt, but maybe I will. So today, like I mentioned, I'm going to be talking about resources I've used to try to get my head together. If you don't know this about me, I am intensely driven and I'm goal-oriented. And the thing is, again, not to sound too full of myself, but I've achieved a lot of the stuff I set out to do. And what happens in my head is that if I've gotten something I want, now that I've gotten it, I'm like, okay, now what do I do? And I usually need another goal. I'm like, okay, I need something else. I need this. I need that. And it's this constant pursuit of something. And in that is a bit of hollowness, because if you get what you want constantly, that's not what's happened to me. I don't get everything I want, but there's a lot of things I've wanted to do. When that happens, you don't know how, at least I don't know how to act, because great, now what do you do? And I started asking my friends. I'm like, hey, you know, you're a successful person. You know, you're a dentist. You have a career. You're making lots of money. You have a nice house. You've got a boat. Well, how do you deal with being successful? I'm talking about my best friend, Rob. And he looked at me and he was just like, well, you don't really have to do anything to enjoy it. You just enjoy it. And I didn't know how to enjoy this stuff. So the first book I want to talk about is called Rewire Your Brain. Now, I've talked about this a couple of times. It's by John B. Arden. He was my therapist at Kaiser Permanente. It's available at Amazon. We'll have links at ayaz.tv to this stuff. And it's available on Kindle, paperback, and Audible. What's kind of neat, I actually bought the book as a Kindle book, and there is a free Audible version of it with it. So it's pretty cheap to get. It's about $10. And you can give it a look if you want to. The idea of the book is all about neural pathways and neuroplasticity. And what does all this stuff mean? This idea of your brain has pathways that are set up in your head that you just default to. It's a lot easier for your brain to do, let's say, a sequence like A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You kind of know it already. It's kind of natural for you to do it. When you first learn something, it's really hard to kind of go, okay, what's after C? Like D, E, F, you'll figure it out as you go along. As you can continuously practice your alphabet as a child or whatever it would be, this pathway is being formed. So you have this idea of how this is supposed to go. You have a sequence. So it becomes somewhat second nature. Now, you can have that same kind of thing happen with your thought processes. So in my experience, I would think if people were doing something, I would find it to be offensive, or they're trying to irritate me, or they're going out of their way to annoy me, or this is because of something I did. And it turns out that default pathway is not a good one, because it's hardly ever true that someone's out there trying to troll me. And they're not trying to screw with me. You know, some people are trying to do that, but that's a whole other ball of wax. And this book teaches you that in the case where you can catch yourself and you're falling into this pattern of, this event happened, this is doing this to annoy me, to say, no, this event happened, this has nothing to do with me. What is actually happening? Let me reassess this. And after a while, your brain starts to go, oh, I know how to do this pattern. I can go and do this pattern a lot easier, but it takes a lot of practice. It's all about practice. Like your body would need to be practiced when it comes to sports or any other skill, rewiring your brain, as the title of the book, is actually a lot of active work. You have to keep a lot of things going. The book also talks a lot about nutrition and eating. You should have a good breakfast and things to get your brain going in the morning. It talks about exercise. Exercise has been shown to have a tremendous impact on things like depression, and it just generally makes a person feel better because of all the endorphins released. And that actually can help you deal with all kinds of issues, because I know I've had, and I still do, have a ton of issues, narcissism in the idea that what people are doing, they are doing it because of something I did, or like they're trying to get to me. And that's silly, because, if somebody does something like, somebody cuts me off on the highway, I've used this example before, it's not that they want to tick me off. It's they're trying to do something. But if I take it personally and get really agitated, it doesn't serve anybody. Somebody called holding a grudge is like taking poison and expecting somebody else to die. And that's just a bad idea. So having these fleeting moments of, what the, wait a second, not a big deal. The more times I can go and say out loud, like, oh, it's not a big deal, or if I can think it, the more my brain is going to think that's the normal pathway. And in some respects, it's actually worked out pretty well for me. I can't recommend this book enough. It's scientific, it's intelligent, it's easy to read, and it's available on Amazon. Again, I have a link. It's called Rewire Your Brain by John B. Arden. When I feel like I'm kind of losing my perspective and I'm not capable of being intelligent, I will re-listen to the book, or I will start rereading the book, because it helps a lot. So that's one of them. The next book I want to talk about is called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. It's got a really long title. Let me finish the title. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. Simple Ways to Keep the Little Things from Taking Over Your Life by Richard Carlson. Again, we'll have links, or you can just do a search. I'm going to take a sip of beer. 1 second. All right. That was an exciting beer. Yeah. So this book, I'm going to tell you a story about this book. I was hanging out in Los Angeles. I was waiting for my friend Eric, and he was going to pick me up. And I went to the Barnes & Noble by my hotel. I sat around. I always peruse the self-help section, self-improvement, whatever you want to call it. And so I found this book. It was about, physically, the book's about this big. It's not much larger than an index card. Picked it up. Actually, I picked up a whole stack of books, but I ended up taking this one. I sat down. I started reading it because I'm just waiting around to get picked up. And these chapters are like page and a half pages. They're really small, simple ideas. And this book, geez, I bought this book. I don't think I bought the audiobook, but I do have the Kindle version of it, because I was constantly taking this book out of the library. I really enjoyed this book. When I first got the book, I'm sitting there at Barnes & Noble. I took my phone out and started taking pictures of some of the ideas in there. Like, this is a good one. This is a good one. And after a while, I was like, you know what? If I'm taking all this information, I might as well pay this guy. It's only $9. It's a really low-cost book. I'm trying to see what I have bookmarked on my device, because when it comes to this book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, it's like the first book I re-download on the Kindle app on any device I have. So if I've gone from an iPad to a Nexus or whatever, when I install Kindle, immediately I put this book on there, because it's actually one of the first books that helped my brain go, oh, I'm making really big deals over really small things. And this book's really about perspective again. If you look at the title, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. That sounds a little bit glib, right? It's like, oh, it's all small stuff. But if you really think about it, the things in life that are huge are much larger than these day-to-day annoyances, right? You have the situation where you're like, okay, well, this is really burning me up. Let's see. Let me give you an example. What really ticked me off? I don't know. I don't want to. Let's say I have a relationship issue, right? Because that happens to everybody. Getting really annoyed because, I don't know, something dumb happened at the house. That's not really that big a deal. You know, I don't want to start a fight because the alarm clock was set wrong. That's really dumb. Because what are you going to do? You're going to have a really crappy day? Is that what you want to have? Because you still have to think about the next thing. There's still the rest of your life. So you got to figure out how are you going to handle all this stuff. And this book's about perspective, like I mentioned. This stuff is small. The little things that annoy me, that drove me nuts, were just small things. And I'm realizing that, you know, is this going to matter 10 years from now? Well, I care about this 2 days from now. If it's something that's actually worthwhile, you want to figure out, let's say you have an issue with communication with your significant other, and you're figuring, look, I really do need to figure out a way to speak with you. Now, that is a larger issue. That is something you should discuss at some point. But if it's just like, I don't like the way you speak, that's weird, right? That's not exactly a fight to have. And we are actually live right now at the GFQ, GFQlive.tv. There's a chat room. If you've got questions and stuff, let me know. Somebody's asking, is there a guest today? It's just me, just yammering about the tools I use and the books I read real quick in this little episode. And I'm talking about Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And I'm telling you, this book, another book I recommend highly. There's a lot of variants on this book. Richard Carlson has one for relationships and others. The other big sticking point in my head with this book was this phrase: everything that's already happened to you is already over. And I was like, when I read that statement, everything that's ever happened to you is already over, was this call to be in the present. Because otherwise, if you're like, oh, I remember when I was in high school and I had glory days. I didn't have any glory days in high school. Or I was in college and I did really well. Or like some people, sometimes they live in their head and they're just saying things like, oh, it'll be great one day when I retire and move to Hawaii and I'm on a beach. It'll be great one day. And they're planning the future. Like, but what you're doing is you're not actually living if you're still thinking about the past and worry about the future all the time. Yes, we have to plan, and yes, we have to think, and we should reflect. But even the best experience you've ever had, it's already happened. And the worst experience you've ever had, it already happened. And so when you start thinking of that, you start, at least in my head, this is what started triggering in my head, I'm like, okay, wait a second. That's already happened, and I'm still here, so it's not like it caused death. It's not that impactful. What do I do now? What do I do right now? I can choose to continue to reflect on the past, something that either irritated me, and then seethe and get upset, and then cause the rest of the day to suck, which is not fun. I don't want to have this idea where the rest of the day is bad because I had a bad instance. I always call it like a stubbing my toe. I always say that's an example. You know, you can set up a bad mood. And that kind of thing is so minor. It's not like a broken leg or something. So people, they get worked up over these little things. And I'm one of them. I was one of those guys who constantly was just like, this is a really big deal. This is a big deal. It's like, no, there is no big deal when it comes to that. So I need to start understanding that. Again, all this stuff has happened. Now I can choose what's going to happen now. And that statement of everything that's happened to you is already over, that is helpful for me. If something rubbed me the wrong way, let's say somebody made a snide comment to me, I don't need to continue thinking about that. I always had my own saying of like, or I can't remember, actually maybe it's from this book because I've read a lot of books. Don't bother having a thought a second time unless you enjoy that thought. And I was like, okay, that's an interesting idea, because if you want to keep rehashing a fight you had or an argument or whatever it would be, or a bad experience, you got splashed when you're waiting for the bus, you know, there's some rainwater. unless you really enjoy that experience, why are you making yourself relive that situation? Because you don't need to do that. Now, granted, there could be some cases where it's very hard to disengage your brain to do that. But if you can and you're aware of it, do yourself a favor and realize, wait a second, you should be thinking about other stuff that can make you happier, because sticking to the past and getting irritated about stuff that's already happened, that's all over. Everything is over, which is kind of an odd thing. And that's Don't Sweat the Small Stuff from Richard Carlson. Big fan of that book. Again, I can't recommend that enough. Then there's a blog that I check out. I checked this out a long time ago. By a long time ago, I mean maybe like 5-6 years ago, I want to say. It's called Zen Habits. I'm sure you guys have heard of it. It's by Leo Babauta. I actually don't know how to pronounce the guy's name. I've never actually heard it because I've only read it. So now we're going to find out if it's right or not. And the post that is actually up right now on the screen, it says simplifying is painful. Now this fellow, as far as I know, has made a lot of life changes to be somewhat of a minimalist. He's trying to find inner peace as well. He has children. You know, he wanted to be healthier. All the things that I aspired to do as well. It's like, hey, yeah, I can relate to this. And what he did in his latest post is saying simplifying is painful. And I find pretty much everything this guy writes is somewhat inspirational to me, or I aspire to have such clarity of thinking at times. This post is about the projects he has put on hold in order to put all his focus on a book he's writing. Now, he's stopped a blog he's done. He's stopped studying Spanish. And this idea is really about simplifying does require a bit of sacrifice. And if you're willing to do that, that'll help you. Now, again, Zen Habits goes all over the place when it comes to its topics. But I'm just going to focus on this one right here, right now, because this is the one I have up. And this is similar to the way I think as well. This idea of you got to prioritize what you're doing. And if you don't prioritize the most important things in your life, and you're prioritizing things that don't make you happy, what are you doing? So for a lot of people, it's about jobs, or it's about hanging out with people. If you're in a place where you're not happy, and you're there for like 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, 10 hours a day, and you're not enjoying that, why are you doing that activity? I understand that you might be doing it for money, but if there's something you should be pursuing that can make you happy and make you money, because let's say it's a job you don't like, that's something you should be doing. This idea of there's no reason to wait to do this. Granted, there can be reasons to wait, insurance and stability. And one of the weird things is it does require a bit of, I want to say it's a little bit of insanity to jump from one thing to the next. But you know, if you really want to be happy, being in a situation where you are constantly subjected to stuff that's not good, that's going to cause you a problem. So you got to simplify. You got to figure out what's important, and you got to figure out how are you going to do this, because it's not that easy. Like right now, I commute to San Francisco from Petaluma, which is a very long drive. And my long-term plan is to move closer to work, because the commute is not something I enjoy. Now, currently I own a house, so I'm setting all that up so I can be closer. But the idea is I don't enjoy the commute. I try to do things that make my brain happy, but it's not the 4 hours a day because I'm going in a round trip. I don't want that time being eaten up with that. I want to spend that time doing other things that are much more pleasurable. You know, I want to work out. I want to maybe even cook for myself, because I hardly get to cook, because I get home, it's late, I'm just going to grab something, and then I'm going to go to sleep. Like, it's not a very fulfilling amount of time. And so that kind of commuter culture that's very popular in general, I never quite liked it. But the idea of move closer to work, don't have a scenario where I have to be stuck in these scenarios where I didn't like it. Another thing I hated doing when I had a different home, I hated mowing the lawn. I thought about this. I'm like, an hour and a half every week, I do an activity I cannot stand. I don't care about the lawn. I don't care that I need to water it. I don't care that it needs to look a certain way. But I do this every freaking week. I would go out there and mow, I think it was like a third of an acre or an acre and a third. I can't remember because it's been a long time. It's a big freaking lawn, and I'm going out there with the push mower and mowing and mowing and mowing. And I'm like, this is really terrible. What am I going to do to make this more fun? Because if I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this something I enjoy. This is something I've been trying to do in general. This is something, again, I got from zenhabits.net. They, or Leo talks a lot about just enjoying what you're doing. And I want to do that. And so what I would do with the lawn is I would start designing patterns in there. And I don't know if we can, maybe I can find an image of this, but there is a picture of my old house with a lightning bolt in the lawn, because I designed something I wanted. I drew it up on paper. I'm like, you know what? I think I can probably put this on the lawn. So I made it happen. Let's see if I can find it so I can show you guys. Lightning bolt lawn. If you do a quick search, I'll get it to you guys. But it was really kind of neat that Google Earth picked it up. And I'm like, you know what? That's pretty cool, because I hated coming home and seeing that lawn. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to come home and there's going to be something really cool on there. And there's a big friggin' lightning bolt on there. And it was something pleasurable. I'd come home. There it was. Very happy. I never got to try a star pattern like I wanted to. A lot of math involved. And yeah, you can see the lightning bolt right now if you're watching the video of this. It's folks asked me across the way. They're like, are you a Tampa Bay Lightning fan? It's like, no. I just wanted something cool. And I think one other neighbor actually did another pattern of their own. I didn't expect it to become a thing that everybody would do, but I liked it. But it's about enjoying what you're doing at any time. So there's obviously a theme to all this stuff. It's all about enjoying yourself in a responsible way. You know, and I'm not saying like don't pay attention to your kid or, you know, quit your job and just sit around and do nothing. It's, you got to figure out what's going to make you happy. And if it's something as simple as, okay, you know what? I'll mow the rest of this freaking lawn, but for that pattern, I'm going to do the actual extra work, and I'm going to enjoy that. I got a great sense of pride, and I got to enjoy the fact that I had that, because it was just something silly. Yes, some folks, it did look like the Gatorade lawn, because I couldn't do a pattern that was very intricate, because it was the first pattern I'd done. I mean, other than circles, but I really did enjoy that. That was really kind of nuts. But yeah, so my long winded story is about zenhabits.net and enjoying what you're doing when you can, because if you're going to do it, what are you doing? Like, you should, if you're going to go do any activity, go out there and make sure you're having a good time, and that'll actually keep you happy, because you're doing something. I mean, again, like, I hated mow the lawn. I don't care if I listen to the same music every single time. I tried to listen to podcasts while I was mowing. Can't do it because it's so loud. And I can't hear anything. So I had to listen to the same stuff. It just wasn't tremendously fun for me. So lightning bolt on a lawn. Try it yourself if you want. And finally, I want to talk about an app I use. Actually, I use it on the bus a lot. It's called Bootify 2. It's for iOS. It works on iPhone and iPad. I don't think there's an Android version. I'm sure there's lots of different meditation apps out there. But I saw this application at CNET. I saw it pop up and I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. So I clicked through to it. It cost $2. And what it is, it's a series of guided meditations. Now, I think it's worth $2. I always think about, you know, sometimes I'm really cheap and I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to buy an app. I'm not going to pay 99 cents for an app. I'm like, this is about inner peace. What price would you pay to have mental calmness? Now, what this app has, and you can see it right now in the video version, there is a circular interface, kind of like a fanned out cards, and there are different scenarios. So there's meditations for particular situations. So if you're just waking up, if you're traveling, if you're eating, a work break, if you're feeling stressed or exercising, any number of different varieties of activities you could be doing. And the one I end up hitting most is I hit feeling stressed. And it's got a series of meditations that help me just slow my brain down, try to correct what's going on. Because if I can stop and not focus on the thing that's irritating me, if I'm stressed or like I hadn't slept very well, or I'm having issues with computers. I've had plenty of issues with computers lately, so I don't want that to eat at me. So I'm like, okay, I have to refocus my brain on something else. And that's one of the reasons why meditation is something I probably say all the time. I'm like, okay, this is a thing I suggest to people because if it works for me, it probably works for you. Now, these can be very short. Some of the meditations are about 5 minutes. Some of them are 10. If you want to, you can listen to a whole lot of them. There's also the option of hitting just solo, and it's just got a timer effectively, and it'll tell you when it's done. But I like the guided meditations because it gives me something to focus on because my brain will otherwise just keep bouncing around. So I get to sit there and I listen to this. And one of them is about this something called a RAIN technique. And I forget what the first three letters stand for, but I know what the last one stands for. It's for non-identification. And this idea of having emotions and having thoughts that are negative, what you can do is if you think of that emotion, if you think of it like the sky, you yourself are the sky and your emotions are like the clouds. So you're not necessarily your emotions. So you might be angry, but you're not angry. And that sounds weird, but you see what I'm saying? Like you're going through an angry emotion, but you yourself are greater than that. So in the long run, those clouds will move and weather will change, but you're still going to be there. And that was one of the meditations that stuck in my head because when I'm angry or frustrated, and I've gotten seriously frustrated with CSS sometimes when I'm trying to do stuff. It's one of the reasons if you go to is.tv why the site's so simple, because sometimes I'm just like, look, I'm going to put my hands up. I'm going to worry about content and not spend so much time on CSS because I can get lost in that. And when stuff doesn't work, I get frustrated. And so these meditations help me do the non-identification. And yes, so somebody's asking in the chat room, meditating on the bus. That's weird. They actually didn't say it's weird. He just said double question mark. I'm going to assume that he thinks it's weird. I thought it was weird too. You know, this idea of like, okay, I'm going to like be on the bus. My eyes are going to be closed. I'm going to be breathing kind of and just trying to focus. And I figured, you know what? If somebody sees me doing it, who cares? Like what's going to happen to me if they see it? And again, they're not particularly long. So I can, that's another thing that helps me because these are short and it's easier for my brain just to concentrate for this short amount of time. I should kind of string them together. Also, there's a stats situation. So when you finish a meditation, this window comes up and it asks you to rate your mindfulness, your memory, and a third one that I'm forgetting. And what it lets you do is you can see how you're doing from time. So rate your mindfulness, your concentration, and your balance. And you can see how you are. It'll even keep track of how often you've been meditating, how many hours, how much percentage of the content you've gone through, your streak of how often you've been meditating. And you know, sometimes it's a scale of 1 to 5. My mindfulness will be like a 4, and I'm totally there, and I'm in the moment, and I'm listening, and I'm blocking everything else out. And there are other days where it's just flat out like I'm thinking about getting to work and I'm thinking about eating a bagel and I'm thinking about something else and I'm way just all over the place. But even though that might be a bad scenario in my head, it's still better than not doing it because I've always found it to be very, very helpful even when I'm stressed and if I feel like I can't really get out. But that's helped me a lot. And so yes. So the viewer who's in the chat room saying the bus is loud and people are unruly. I don't have unruly people on this long commute as far as I can tell. I do have headphones that keep the sound out. And so I just listen and concentrate on the voices in my head through my earbuds. They're not in my head. And that's, you know, that was a joke. But yeah, these are just a couple of things I wanted to share with you guys of what I use on a regular basis. Like these four things, you'll like... they're always there for me. I just recently started trying some other apps for motivation, for streaks and like things like that. I've been listening to a podcast called The New Man with Trip Lanier. I find his stuff to be very helpful. I should have a link to that somewhere too. And there's also this app called Lyft, which is not about the car thing. It's about staying motivated to do things. And it lets you kind of keep track of streaks. You know, this idea of like, just if you're goal-oriented like I am, streaks are helpful to have an idea of how this works. So again, everything I'm talking about will be at is.tv. And we live stream this show at gfqlive.tv at 2 o'clock Pacific on gfqlive.tv. And I really am glad that they let me do the show here because it's fun. We're going to have actual RSS feeds, people. We're going to be on iTunes. We're going to have a video version, an audio version. We're going to continue to have guests, even though we didn't have one today. It was because I kind of felt like yammering. So that's kind of nice. But next week, it won't just be me going on and on and on. It'll be me talking to somebody else. I don't know who I'm going to get, but I'm going to try to drag somebody on here. There's also, yes, Joe's Goals, GFQ Viewer. That's another website I really like. So if you go to joesgoals.com, it's a simple chain calendar kind of thing. You define the goals and you get a check mark. It's very helpful. I really like apps at this point because I'm using my phone, and the web interface, while useful, is not as good as an app right now. So that's really another helpful one that I used to use a lot, Joe's Goals. So feeds are coming. Guests are coming. We've got graphics. We've got an awesome, another thank you to Tom Gerke for making the awesome logo for us. And I think that pretty much wraps it up for me. I'm going to let you guys just keep yammering about one more thing of, I don't know, pretty much, I don't have a signature sign off, you know, I don't have something like that. And I will stick to the one I've been saying, but like, there's no strength without balance, right? If your life isn't balanced and you're in chaos, it really can cause a lot of discord in your brain. And you need to find out what works for you. It's going to be different for every person. I've recently gotten back into indoor rock climbing, and that completely takes my mind up, which I really enjoy. So that might be something that you enjoy too, but think of things that will feed your soul, I guess, things that will make you happy. So if you have a balance of, sure, there'll be irritations in your day, but if you can balance that out with good things, it's on average good, and then you'll feel better. It sounds very simple, but it's very hard to reach balance. But I guess good luck to all of you, and thank you for watching and or listening. I will see everybody next week on Quest for Peace with me, Ayaz Akhtar. Bye.